You will have fire in your life. And you will have to not bypass the fire, but walk through it. Without being this India holy man who can walk on fire without getting burned. Huh? That's not what God is talking about. He's saying when you walk through the fire, there will be trials, fiery trials in your life. You shall not be burned. Even though you feel, oh, I'm burning, I'm dying. I'm ministering to someone and this person says, I wish God would kill me. It's too much. Nobody cares for me. I told this person, you're complaining. No, 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 this person says. I can tell God all my problems. I said, why do you tell him your problems? Why don't you thank him for who he is? No, 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 you don't understand. I said, sure, I don't understand. I don't have to understand. But this one thing I know, that you're complaining, you're grumbling, you're focused on your problems, and you don't see the God who walks through with you in all your trials. Person says, you're very unsympathetic. What kind of pastor are you? And I go home thinking, what kind of a pastor am I? You don't care, you don't understand. Of course I don't. I'll be a liar if I say I understand everybody's problem. But do I have to? Do you understand your problems yourself? Do you have to? Or do you recognize that in the midst of all those struggles and problems and trials in your life, God is with you, Emmanuel. The flame shall not scorch you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And we had a great reminder from Professor Isaiah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at that passage too. And if I don't finish all my notes, you've got the notes, right? Look at Romans chapter 8. And it bears repeating because one of the biggest sins, one of the biggest sins that leads to a multitude of sins is the sin of ingratitude, which comes out of the sin of forgetfulness, which is a second cousin of not knowing who God is. We were reminded from Romans chapter 8, what was that which was reminded? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, he gave up the most important part of himself. He who did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What are the things that could separate us from the love of God? Look at verse 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, he starts with the worst. Can death separate you? I mean, if death can't, it's as weighty as saying if he did not spare his own son, if God was willing to give his own son, then why do you doubt that he can freely give you anything else? Because everything else is less than his own son. So also can death separate you. If death can't, then how can life? Can angels separate you from the love of God? Can an angel stand between you and the love of God? What about principalities? And Bible scholars tell us there are at least four levels of the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. There are mighty forces of the evil one in the air. Invisible forces. Evil angelic forces. We colloquially, commonly call them demons. They're really those angels that follow their leader, Lucifer or Satan. Can they separate us? Or powers? What about the present? What about the future? What about height or depth? Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. What about trials? What about pain and suffering? Nothing can separate us. If God is with us, then what should be the normal Christian response to life? Should be a grateful heart. Are you grateful? Or are you forgetful? Our preachers in the last few weeks were very united in what they were preaching. Arthur Hope came here and he said, God gives and forgives. We get and forget. Very simple statements. Did you forget those statements? Oh yes. We remember just now, right? But if I can keep these kind of nice words somewhere where I keep reminding myself of these things, it might help me to live a more grateful, thankful life. You know, if I'm grateful, I'll be thankful. Every time I'm not thankful, I'm ungrateful. And what do you tell people who are ungrateful creatures? You say, you ungrateful creature, right? And you despise ungrateful creatures. Even if they are your own kids, right? You ungrateful creature, you've forgotten how much I've done for you? Say that to yourself. Every time you say, nobody cares for me, what are you being? Forgetful, ungrateful, unthankful. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in this whole series of rapid fire exhortations, is saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And then he adds this statement, which is common to all his exhortations. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will? We keep looking for God's will, right? We have a hard time understanding. What is God's will for my life? Well, at least one thing is very clear. Be thankful. Even if you don't know who to marry, be thankful. Even if you don't know anything else, be thankful. I mean, Chanda Pilla got you, right? So I can also. I was told Chanda Pilla jumped on his lap or something. We should get him back to wake us up. Be thankful. When should I be thankful? Well, I've got a whole list. If you look at Daniel's life, you find him occasionally reported as praying always. I mean, 3 times a day he prayed. And when the edict went out from the king that you shouldn't pray to anybody except the king because the king was misled by his counselors, in chapter 6 and verse 10, you know what? Daniel went into his house and in private worship, you know how he worshipped God? It says there, the record is, he thanked God as he worshipped. You know, part of worship is to say, thank you. Anybody have anything to share this morning? Will you pray out this morning? It's as if we are constipated, right? And that's the truth. You can go to church after church and there is constipated worship. Is that a graphic enough? Accusation. Just doesn't come out. Jonathan Edwards, when he was reporting about revival in the 18th century, in his ministry in New England, one of the things he writes is, there was people in church enthusiastically taking part. The reading of scriptures, worship of God, enthusiastic singing, and praying. Mark of revival. Everybody participates. They come to church. You know why you come to church? Did you consciously decide why you come to church this morning? Most of us come because it's Sunday. And quite a lot came late, right? Why? Because it's just a ceremony. You didn't come prepared. Therefore, you came late. And if you feel bad, I don't mind. You came late. You came unprepared. You didn't come thinking, I'm going to church for this reason. And sometimes you decide, I'm not going to go to church. That time you decide why you're not going to church. Right? You can decide why not to come to church because you're upset with somebody. But when you come to church, you don't necessarily come conscious that I want to go to church for a reason. I was talking to somebody about the Lord's table. And I said, you know, at the Lord's table, we come to have communion with God, but also with other believers. And even on that point, I had a disagreement. I said, no, you just come to have communion with God. I said, no, we come to church. We come to church together. Otherwise, I might have private communion at home, right? Just give myself communion. Because I want to have communion with God. And therefore, tons of people say, why should I go to church? And there has to be a reason to go to church on a Sunday morning or a Friday, whatever. When churches meet together. And it's not individual, it's not only personal. It is commonly known as public worship. And part of your public worship is also to express worship to God publicly in thankfulness. And Psalm 35 verse 18 says that. Look at it. Simple statement. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. I love it when Bob, this morning he was singing, right? And you know, the thought that went into my mind is, hey, if this guy can be unembarrassed in worshiping God and nobody else is singing with him, he's singing all by himself. In a language that most of us anglicized people don't understand. I'm sure he will not be ashamed to give thanks among non-Christians. And I want to tell you this, looking you eyeball to eyeball, that most of you don't have the guts to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in your workplace because you don't have the personal relationship with Almighty God in the public worship. Does it connect? You're so embarrassed to worship God with brothers and sisters who are not going to persecute you. No wonder you have a hard time speaking for Christ in your college, in your workplace, among those who don't believe. You're embarrassed. You're so self-conscious, or whatever else it's you feel. Those are much more focused than saying, I know God. God, I can't help but say something. I want to add a footnote here. It doesn't necessarily have to be out loud. It doesn't have to be. But did you sing out when everybody else is singing? And even though it doesn't have to be out loud, why can't it be sometimes out loud? And it's remarkable, isn't it, in public worship, that when someone else is singing out loud or saying a prayer out loud, we have enough intelligence to pick faults so often in someone else's testimony, in someone else's prayer, in someone else's praise. We can find fault even though we don't speak. In public worship, give thanks to the Lord. When something great is accomplished for God, Nehemiah chapter 12, you've got to go before the Psalms to find Nehemiah. In chapter 12 and verse 31, Nehemiah records this, so I brought the leaders of Judah up out on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. They were building the wall. They were reclaiming Jerusalem by building this wall. And you know what he did? He appointed two thanksgiving choirs. You know what their job was? Just to sing thanks. Just sing thanks. That sounds kind of funny, you know, because you've never heard it that way. Sing thanks. And I'm saying it deliberately. Sing thanks. Sing songs of thanksgiving. Choirs. One went to the right hand of the wall and towards the refuse gate. Trumpets and everything else. Verse 40 of the same passage. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Likewise I and half of the rulers with me. And what did we do? We just sang thanks to God. When else can I give thanks? Look at Philippians and Colossians for an answer to that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it's talking about just a burdened heart. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. And that's a commandment. It's an imperative. It says, be anxious for nothing. It's almost saying, the opposite of all of us, right? I mean, it's natural to be anxious, right? I mean, we all get anxious. Even the best counselors get anxious, right? When the bottom is taken out of our lives, get anxious, yeah? And it'll be only the self-righteous saint who says, I'm never anxious, or I'm such a wonderful believer, you know? You know what the word believer means? It means I trust. Oh, I trust. Oh, I'm so wonderful. Pharisee. We are anxious, but it says be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, how? With thanksgiving. Lord, I'm anxious, but I can come to you in prayer and supplication, and I can say thank you that you care. I can say thank you that you are able to understand even what I can't understand. I am grateful, Lord, that you understand the anxiousness of my heart. You know what's going to happen? I hate to use the word, it'll be therapeutic, because it's not for that reason that we pray, to get some therapy. But it really works. It'll cool off your anxiety. I was just making a point. And the peace of God, see, it says there, what will happen? Not therapy will happen, but reality will happen. The peace of God, which goes beyond all human analysis, will guard, what a strong word, will guard your hearts and your minds, my emotions and my intellect that worries. Two areas that worry. I think, oh, what a problem. Or I think, I don't have an answer to this problem. See, my intellect doesn't have a solution. My emotions can't handle the ignorance of my intellect. And I get all tuned up to be anxious. But if I take everything to the Lord in prayer, not to get a placebo, a therapy, but to know this is the reality. God really cares. God really is involved. And so I can say thankfully to God, you're there, you care, you understand, you even understand my anxiety, and you know the answer. And you can take me through even if the solution doesn't come my way. I'm grateful, God. The peace of God. I know who holds my future. He cares. When I pray for others, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3, in Philemon chapter verse 4, all of those things, you pray for other people. All kinds of other people with thanks. Just punctuate everything with thanks. Not brainlessly, like some authors, Christian authors, tell you to do. But understanding that God is involved. I can pray before meals. Jesus, when he broke bread in chapter 6 and verse 11, feeding the 5,000, what did he do? He said, let's give thanks. So also in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul in verse 35, give thanks before having a meal. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16 tells me what we have been saying all along. Verse 16 of Ephesians, verse 1, do not cease to give thanks for you. Who doesn't cease to give thanks for you? The Apostle Paul, when he prays for the Ephesian Christians, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he tells what he prays for. So also in chapter 5 of the same epistle, verse 20, the Apostle says, when you're filled with the Spirit, and I shall come back to this, when you're filled with the Spirit, what happens? One of the marks of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is verse 20. Giving thanks how many times? Always. giving thanks? Always. I don't want to recommend this because sometimes it looks stupid, but I remember in a meeting where I had to apologize for the absence of the great speaker from the United States. We had this hall full of people, and the organizing committee picked me to say sorry because Chuck Colson failed to come. And we had all the big people and small people of Pune sitting in Gulati Hall. And the Catholics and the Protestants and everybody said, Chris, you're the guy to say sorry. I said, okay. I got up and I said, sorry. And I sat down and the meeting carried on with a substitute speaker. One guy, a Roman Catholic teacher, he took about 2 months to find me out. And eventually he came to my home. He said, I wanted to meet the guy who could smile and say, sorry. Oh, I thought, how stupid of me. But he felt a spiritual search beginning. He said, I wanted to come and see the guy who always smiles. Don't always smile, because sometimes it looks stupid, you know. And I know I look stupid when I smile and say sorry. Not serious enough. But that's how my face is made. Okay. So fewer frowns. They say smile, it kind of reduces the wrinkles, right? But give thanks. Be always grateful, right? Give thanks always. For all things. To whom? Because God is always involved in my life, even when bad things happen to me. There's that book, right? Bad things happen to good people? I never read it. It's written by a Jewish rabbi. Have you heard of that book? I guess it must be a good book. But when I look at that title and I look at that book, I say, I don't want to read it. Because I don't need that kind of help. Because I've understood that even when bad things happen to good people, it's ordained of a good God. And even when bad things happen to good people, even when I'm all right and bad things happen to me, it's from the hand of a good God, who's really doing it for my good, even though I don't like it. So I can be thankful even though I don't feel like it. And I can say, God, I don't like it. But I know deep down that you're good and you've given me this for my good. And it's not I'm forcing myself. No, it's not forcing myself. I know. In that instance, I don't feel like it. But I know even in that instance that it's good and from the hand of a good God. Day by day and with each hour.